This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Hoss Spencer joins me live from his office in downtown Charlottesville with some breaking news this afternoon. And Hoss, what is the breaking news? It seems the new governor has something to say about the old governor's decisions.
It's an international tug of war, Coy, and at the center of it is a convicted murderer whose name is probably well known to many in Charlottesville, Jens Søring, convicted in 1990 for the 1985 double slaying of his girlfriend's parents near Lynchburg. He's currently incarcerated at the Buckingham Correctional Center, but if outgoing Governor Tim Kaine had his way, he'd be heading back to Germany and the prospect of release in about 2 years.
We're talking with Hoss Spencer. Jens Søring, of course, the double murder back in the 80s. It was national news. Well, I guess it was international news because he was from Germany studying at the University of Virginia. It was called the, what was it called? There was a name for it in the headlines. I can't remember what they called it.
I don't know what the name was, but it was gruesome. It was interesting to a lot of people because Mr. Søring was a Jefferson Scholar. That's a full free ride scholarship to UVA, reserved for only the smartest of students. And both he and his girlfriend were Eccles Scholars, which is another high academic honor at the local university. And they went on the lam after authorities suspected that they might be the killers. And you're right, it was an international scandal because they there was a big fight over extradition for quite a long time. And finally, the authorities in Virginia agreed not to pursue the death penalty. And it was only at that point that Germany agreed to release him for trial in America.
So he comes back. They both go on trial. They're both convicted of murdering her parents, right?
Yeah, she pled hers, and she's serving a couple of life terms in Fluvanna. And he went ahead and fought things with a trial, but the jury decided he was the killer, based to some degree on some sock print evidence, which is not really the strongest there is, but there was other circumstantial evidence that clearly indicated that one of these two people had gone down to Lynchburg and with a knife committed the savage crime.
We're talking with Hoss Spencer of The Hook. What happened? Did he is the story that he broke into the house at night? I mean, were they sleeping or watching
TV? No,
actually,
it was interesting. One of the victims had a blood alcohol content level that was quite above the legal driving limit, and the theory is that he engaged his girlfriend's parents in conversation, and then when they least expected it, pulled out a kitchen knife and whammo. There were some pretty gory details at the time I probably don't need to go into, but suffice it to say, it was not a pretty scene.
And they both died of their wounds on the scene, I would guess.
They did.
Yeah.
And amazingly, it was so premeditated that the couple had rented a car to go up to Washington, D.C., and when they returned it, they're so smart, they're UVA students, they're Eccles Scholars, but they just forgot that when you say that you're only taking the car to D.C. and then it has an extra 500 miles on the odometer, that might hinder your story.
Has Jens Søring ever confessed and said, yeah, I was the guy that did that?
No, he actually steadfastly maintains his innocence. He claims that he took the fall for his girlfriend to spare her the death penalty, and that he was in love, and et cetera, et cetera. And he maintains his innocence. And it was in the waning days before the advent of DNA evidence, which is too bad because there was blood at the scene that belonged to an unknown party, and I don't believe it was ever saved to be tested for modern DNA techniques.
Amazing. It's 43 minutes after 4 o'clock. We're talking with Hoss Spencer of The Hook. So now you fast forward almost 20 years. Governor Kaine is on his way out of office. On the very last day in office, he has something to say about Jens Søring from Germany, who's serving time for this double murder.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Tim Kaine really did not rest his governorship on any particular affection for Jens Søring or German diplomacy, and yet on his last day in office, he has pulled a move that is reminiscent of Bill Clinton with his pardon of felonious donor Mark Rich. And it looks like he really attempted to slide this one past the public. And if it were not for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, which got wind of it and began contacting relatives of the deceased couple, it might have gone unnoticed. But notice he did. Incoming Governor McDonnell has sent a letter to U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder in which he says, "I'm responsible for ensuring that justice is done. I hereby revoke Virginia's consent to the transfer."
So what exactly was Governor Kaine trying to do as he walked out the door?
Well, it would be nice if he could give a better justification than he's given thus far. He said that, A, he was assured that Søring will serve at least 2 years behind bars in Germany.
But he was trying to get him transferred to Germany.
Yeah. And that he wants Germany to assume the burden of incarcerating Søring. But I mean, this was a crime that really shocked a large number of people on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean. This couple went on a shoplifting fraud scheme in London while they were on the lam, in which they would steal clothing from a fancy British store. It's called something like Marks and Spencer, or I forget what it was called, something like that. And they'd steal the clothes, and then they would return them and go, "Oh, yeah, we want our money back for these clothes." And so when the authorities busted into their hideout, they had just bags and bags of stolen garments in their flat. And it was hardworking investigators from Bedford County who flew over to London and cracked the case. They found letters that had the couple talking about how great it would be if their parents were to suddenly die violent deaths. And they put all the pieces together.
So Governor Kaine, on his way out of office, tries to get this convicted double murderer transferred from a Virginia prison over to Germany, where arguably he's gonna get let out pretty soon.
Well, yeah, I can't pretend to understand German law, but as it's been reported, the only guarantee is that he'll be behind bars for 2 more years in Germany. I mean, you know, this is a crime that was adjudicated in 1990, and one suspects that Virginia would hold on to him a little bit longer.
Yeah, well, he's serving life with no chance of parole. Is that right?
You may be right on that.
Yeah. So, and then Governor McDonnell comes in, gets wind of it, and says, "Oh no, we're not going to be doing that."
Yeah. He got some consultation on this from a variety of people, including the new Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, as well as state legislators who include Charlottesville area delegate Rob Bell and State Senator Steve Newman, the latter of whom serves the district where the murders took place in 1985.
Amazing. Wow. And I guess this this raises a whole mess of legal issues. To what extent can a new governor overturn the previous governor's whatever it was that he did? It was whether it was a request to the Department of Corrections or whether it was an executive order or what. I'm not quite sure what it was.
I'm not either, Coy, and you've hit on just the right issue. The law is going to be really interesting to discover in the next few days if this does become a tug of war, if it does become a legal battle, because you know, I put in a call to one of my favorite constitutional scholars this afternoon, and he wasn't familiar enough with the issues to comment. But I think in the coming days, we're going to hear from some legal scholars who can explain what's going to happen. I mean, right now the ball is probably in the court of Eric Holder, the U.S. Attorney General and the head of the Justice Department, because that's who the new governor is leaning on to carry out his will, and whether Tim Kaine wants to get back involved or if he's just so embarrassed about the whole thing, who knows? Does he still have any power as an outgoing governor? I don't know.
And then, of course, the bigger question here in terms of trying to think inside baseball is what the heck was Tim Kaine doing? I mean, what are we trying to get from Germany?
You know, boy, that's going to be the new Watergate question, isn't it? I mean, if we could figure that one out, somebody would have a good story, I suppose.
Yeah, well, some enterprising reporter is going to find out exactly what, you know, maybe the White House paid a call to their friend Tim Kaine before he stepped out of office as governor and said, can you get this German national transfer to Germany?
You know, well, it's interesting that you mention the White House because, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Tim Kaine the current chairman of the Democratic National Committee?
I'd heard about that.
I mean, that's what kind of makes the whole thing smell a little bit. The fact that it was on his last day of office, the fact that he didn't announce it, that it was only because an enterprising reporter from Richmond, Frank Green, who's broken many important stories over the years, you got to have him on your show sometime. That guy,
yeah.
That guy's broken some biggies.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that the media can uncover from time to time, and thus far, Mr. Kaine hasn't really revealed an explanation that fully makes sense of it.
Yeah, it really is interesting, and so hopefully it'll turn up one day exactly what was the motivation on the part of Tim Kaine to try to essentially free this guy, because that's what we're talking about. If he stayed in the Virginia Department of Corrections, which he might possibly do now that Governor McDonald's not endorsing this, if he's sent back over to Germany, he's going to get freed in just a few short years, but he wouldn't be freed here in Virginia. So, in a sense, Tim Kaine's freeing this German national, the former UVA student convicted of double murder, and yet we don't know why.
You know, Coy, you bring up another really good point. There was an action that the governor took a few months ago where he issued some very limited bits of clemency for the group of sailors known as the Norfolk Four. They are the men convicted in the brutal rape and murder of a woman named Michelle Moore Bosco in 1997. And if you read some of the stories about the Norfolk Four, I got to tell you, those guys don't just sound like they deserve some clemency. They sound completely innocent. This is one of them. It's said to be one of the most egregious examples of false confessions ever rendered anywhere, let alone in Virginia. And interestingly enough, what the governor did with them was just not very. It was not very broad. It was not very deep. And if you look into that Norfolk Four case,
did he pardon them?
You know, what he did, it's a little bit confusing, but he granted clemency in the form of a conditional pardon to three of them, and what that means is that their convictions will stand, but that the men will be released. But to people who have looked into this case extensively, they deserved an exoneration much bolder than that. I mean, these are guys where there was no evidence, no physical evidence whatsoever tying them to the case, and there was physical evidence from another person who issued a confession, later retracted, but who had every means, motive, and certainly left his DNA at the scene. And so it really looked like the Norfolk Four were railroaded, and the governor did not give them a full pardon. And so it's kind of ironic that he's shipping Jens Søring back to friendly Germany, where his daddy is a diplomat.
Yeah, it really is really interesting. It's a kind of story that has legs. It's not about to go away tomorrow. And it also is the kind of story, if a reporter uncovers actually was this part of a quid pro quo with Germany and the White House was involved, this could really blow up into not only a major story, but could be the kind of thing that could influence how historians interpret the legacy of Tim Kaine in his time in office.
You know, it's interesting. You're getting big there, and you may be onto something. I mean, already Barack Obama's coattails are not looking very helpful to people, and if it looks like the White House had any kind of connection to this thing, that would just be all the worse for our new president.
Hoss Spencer is the founder and editor of The Hook. You can read about this story online at readthehook.com. We've also got it over at wina.com. Hoss will join us on Friday afternoon to recap all the local news and events, and we'll talk about them in detail. And one of the things we have to talk about this Friday is all this garbage stuff. Your cover story last week for the whole garbage story for Dum Dums was fantastic. Dave McNair, of course, continuing to do great reporting at The Hook. And that news of this whole, you know, the legal suit against Peter Van der Linde. You talk about a big local story. That's right up there at the top.
Well, that thing is breaking with every passing day, so we will have plenty to talk about.
Good stuff. Hoss, thanks so much. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.